Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a company that, well, quietly dominates its market, consistently grows its share, and even manages to expand its profit margins, all while its competitors are, frankly, really struggling to find their footing. Sounds almost too good to be true, right? Well, today we're taking a deep dive into Howden Joinery Group Kolesak. You'll often see it on the London Stock Exchange as HWDN LSE. And this isn't just any company. It's the UK's leading specialist supplier of fitted kitchens and a whole range of joinery products. Our mission for this deep dive is pretty clear. We really want to understand the secret sauce behind Howden's unique business model, try to unravel its remarkable financial resilience, pinpoint the significant growth opportunities that lie ahead, and critically assess the risks that any astute investor needs to consider, especially given its, let's say, premium valuation in the market. So the central question we'll be wrestling with throughout this discussion is this: is this valuation premium fully justified by Howden's undeniable quality and its defensive growth profile, or is there maybe a much richer, more nuanced story to uncover beneath the surface?
Well, what's truly fascinating here, and what we'll be meticulously exploring, is how a business seemingly as conventional as, selling kitchens, has managed to construct such an incredibly formidable competitive moat around itself. It's quite something. We're going to connect the dots, moving beyond simply stating the facts, to truly understand why their very specific operational choices consistently lead to such impressive and, frankly, resilient financial outcomes. It's not just about what they do, but the strategic genius in how they do it that really makes them stand out.
I completely agree. Let's jump right into that blueprint of success because, really, at its core, Howden's business model is genuinely differentiated. It's not just about the high-quality products they manufacture and distribute, but fundamentally how they engage with their customers and, crucially, who those customers actually are. Their entire philosophy is basically encapsulated in two words: trade only. And this isn't merely some distribution channel or a catchy marketing slogan. It is the very bedrock of their identity, informing pretty much every decision they make.
Exactly. It's foundational.
Their corporate purpose, which I find particularly insightful, is stated as to help our trade customers achieve exceptional results for their customers. Just think about that for a moment. It's not about selling kitchens to you, the homeowner, directly. It's about empowering the builder, the fitter, the installer, the trade professional to look good and perform better for their end clients. This creates such a powerful commitment to partnership, doesn't it? It goes far beyond just a simple transaction. It's about being an indispensable ally, not just another supplier.
Oh, absolutely. This point, the trade-only philosophy is absolutely foundational, as you say, and it's where their competitive advantage truly begins. This isn't just a preference, it's a strategic choice to embed themselves deeply, really deeply, into the success of their trade customers. By aligning their purpose so directly with the professional's ability to deliver, Howden cultivates a level of trust and loyalty that is, well, extraordinarily difficult for any competitor to even approach, let alone replicate. You see, when a trade professional knows their supplier is unequivocally on their side, not trying to undercut them or, compete for the end user's business, well, that builds an almost unbreakable bond. This becomes a huge, intangible competitive advantage, a powerful, sticky glue that binds their customers to them in a way that goes far beyond just price. I mean, imagine trying to replicate decades of that trust overnight. It's virtually impossible.
Right. And that loyalty isn't built on just warm feelings alone, is it? It's forged in the fires of practical day-to-day support. Howden provides this really comprehensive suite of services specifically tailored for those trade professionals. We're talking about crucial elements like credit facilities, which, let's be honest, are an absolute godsend for managing cash flow, especially for smaller builders who might be juggling multiple projects at once. They offer confidential trade pricing, making sure the builder can maintain their margins and their competitive edge. Then there are the free design and planning services. That's huge. Their trade customers can then offer these services seamlessly to their end users, essentially giving them access to a high-end design studio capability without any of the overhead. Add to that marketing materials, product samples, and a level of expert advice that's, well, pretty hard to find elsewhere.
That's a great way to put it. They really do act as this critical back office and operational support system for builders.
Yeah, exactly. Think about it like this: a small independent builder can focus on what they do best, the actual installation, the craftsmanship, the on-site management, without having to worry about managing vast inventory or investing in expensive design software or tying up precious working capital. They essentially outsource all those complexities to Howden. And here's the strategic masterstroke, as you called it earlier. They deliberately avoid selling directly to the public. Full stop. This eliminates what's known in the industry as channel conflict. unlike, say, a B&Q or maybe a Wren Kitchens, who often serve both retail consumers and trade professionals. Howden's customers know their primary supplier isn't also secretly competing with them for the end user's business. That confidence, that unwavering loyalty, that sort of absence of a hidden agenda is a colossal differentiator. It's a huge reason for their success.
That avoidance of channel conflict is, yeah, as you rightly say, a strategic masterstroke. It creates this sanctuary of trust where trade professionals can really lean on Howden as an absolute ally. And this deep alignment of interests isn't just theoretical. It transforms what could be a purely transactional relationship into a genuinely symbiotic partnership. It's really not just about providing a product anymore. It's about providing the complete solution to a builder's entire operational workflow, from the initial design right through to final delivery. This makes it an incredibly high barrier to entry for anyone else, because you can't just throw money at this problem, can you? You need to build relationships, complex systems, and a culture of trust over decades. That's something that's nearly impossible for a newcomer to replicate just through, say, lower pricing or slightly different product features. It's truly a kind of network effect built on human connections and, above all, reliable service.
So if that's the who and the why sorted, let's talk about the where and the how. Because this unique trade-only model isn't just an idea. It's delivered through an absolutely extensive and highly localized network of physical depots. As of the end of fiscal year 2024, get this, Howden operated an astounding 869 depots across the UK alone, just in the UK. And they have ambitious plans to open another 20 to 25 in 2025. That's an incredible physical footprint, isn't it? It ensures that a Howden depot is virtually always within easy reach for any trade professional, whether they're working in a bustling city center or maybe a more remote rural area. This ubiquity, this sheer presence, directly translates into minimized travel time, reduced logistical headaches, and maximized on-site productivity for their customers. Because for a builder, time spent driving is simply money lost, and Howden understands that implicitly.
Yeah, the sheer number and the strategic placement of these depots, they're not just impressive statistics on a page. They are a fundamental solution to a builder's most pressing everyday pain points. The convenience and, crucially, the reliability of immediate local stock aren't merely a nice to have. They are the absolute backbone of a builder's efficiency. Think about it. Time is literally money for a trade professional. Every single minute lost due to, say, a missing component or a delayed delivery directly impacts their income, their project timelines, and very importantly, their reputation with their client. So Howden's ability to pretty much guarantee product availability, often within minutes of a builder needing it, is thus a critical differentiator. This creates what we might call a ubiquity moat, a competitive advantage so pervasive and deeply integrated into the customer's workflow that it's almost impossible for a competitor to effectively bypass. They've essentially made themselves geographically indispensable in many areas.
You've absolutely hit on the core value of these depots there. It's that in-stock model. Each depot carries this comprehensive inventory of core products. This isn't a showroom where you place an order and then wait, possibly for weeks. A builder can literally walk in, pick up an entire kitchen if they need to, or maybe just a single replacement component like a specific hinge or perhaps a damaged panel, and either collect it immediately or have it delivered very quickly to their site. This stands in really stark contrast to competitors like, say, Wren Kitchens, for instance, who primarily operate a manufacturer-to-order model. Now, while that might sound efficient from a purely manufacturing perspective, it introduces significant lead times. And if a part gets damaged during installation, or perhaps a measurement is slightly off, and let's be honest, in the real world of construction, these things happen all the time, the entire project can be significantly delayed, sometimes for weeks, just waiting for a replacement part. That's an absolute nightmare for a builder.
A complete nightmare. It stops the job dead.
Exactly. Howden CEO Andrew Livingston has consistently emphasized unrivaled product quality and industry-leading stock availability as key strengths. And these become especially valuable in times when broader supply chains are constrained, as we've seen recently. What's even more remarkable, though, is that these aren't just generic warehouses operated centrally from some HQ. It's a highly decentralized business model with genuinely empowered local depot managers. This means each depot manager has the autonomy, the freedom to tailor their services, their specific stock mix, and their relationship building to the unique needs and demands of their local market. It fosters these incredibly personal relationships that kind of mimic what you'd maybe get from a trusted, small, independent local supplier. But crucially, with the massive purchasing power, the sophisticated logistics network, and the solid national backing of a multi-billion-pound corporation, it's a really clever hybrid model, isn't it? It combines the best of both worlds.
It really is. The in-stock model is, as you said, the absolute linchpin. For a builder, the financial and reputational cost of having an idle crew just standing around waiting for a part far, far outweighs a minor difference in the product price itself. Howden effectively de-risks the builder's entire project schedule, making them not just a supplier, but an indispensable partner in actually getting the project delivered on time and on budget. And that decentralized management structure you mentioned, the one that allows for local adaptation and relationship cultivation, is absolutely critical for the trade. Builders often operate within quite tight local networks, and they rely heavily on trusted local suppliers they know and like. Howden's approach somehow manages to capture that local nuance while simultaneously leveraging its enormous national scale. It creates an incredibly potent blend that competitors find nearly impossible to crack. It's a genuine competitive fortress built depot by depot.
And then there's the third, equally crucial pillar supporting this fortress: vertical integration. Howden isn't merely a distributor shuffling boxes of other people's products. They actually operate their own factories. They produce a substantial portion of their kitchen cabinets completely in-house, ensuring tight control over the core product quality and design. And perhaps most famously, they have their own exclusive Lamona brand appliances. This brand covers everything from cooking and cleaning products to refrigeration. This vertical integration isn't just about, you know, operational neatness or efficiency on paper. It offers several profound strategic advantages.
Yeah, it's much more than just efficiency.
Definitely. Firstly, they gain unparalleled control over quality, product design, and crucially, innovation. They can ensure their products meet their own exacting standards, and they can evolve rapidly with market trends without being beholden to external suppliers' timelines or maybe their differing priorities. Secondly, and this is very significant for their bottom line, they capture additional margin that would otherwise just flow out to third-party manufacturers. This directly contributes to their consistently superior profitability, which we'll absolutely dig into shortly. Trade professionals, by the way, often give incredibly positive feedback on those Lamona appliances, specifically citing their excellent value and reliability, which, again, just builds more loyalty and trust.
And that reputation for reliability is gold in the trade.
It is. And thirdly, this integrated model provides tremendous flexibility and resilience in their supply chain. They maintain a strategic maker-buy choice, allowing them to constantly optimize their production and procurement strategies for both cost efficiency and that crucial product availability. We saw a perfect example of this flexibility in action back in 2024, when they strategically expanded their in-house production of things like end panels and kitchen frontals. Now, this wasn't just about increasing capacity. It was a deliberate strategic move to reduce their reliance on potentially volatile external suppliers, further shoring up their supply chain and ultimately their ability to deliver on that core in-stock promise day in, day out.
This integrated model is, without a shadow of a doubt, a primary and sustained driver of Howden's industry-leading gross margin, which, as you mentioned earlier, consistently exceeds that remarkable 60% mark. By meticulously controlling key parts of the value chain, right from raw material procurement through their own manufacturing processes and then via their specialized distribution network directly to the trade customer, Howden has engineered an incredibly efficient and highly profitable system. It's about more than just efficiency, though. It's about controlling quality at every single stage, driving innovation from within based on direct customer feedback, and ultimately capturing a much larger share of the total profit pool available within the kitchen and joinery value chain. This end-to-end control is precisely what makes them so resilient, so robust, even when facing challenging economic climates that might cripple less integrated competitors.
So when you bring these three pillars together, the foundational trade-only philosophy, the extensive and convenient in-stock depot network, and the strategic vertical integration, what does it all really mean in practice? It's absolutely crucial to understand that these aren't just isolated components. They don't operate independently in silos. Instead, they form this powerful, self-reinforcing ecosystem. It all connects. The trade-only model fosters incredibly deep loyalty and trust among those vital trade professionals. This, in turn, drives consistently high sales volume through that extensive, geographically convenient depot network. That consistently high volume then justifies the significant ongoing capital investment required to maintain the in-stock model at every single depot, and crucially supports the continuous investment needed in vertical integration for manufacturing efficiency and innovation. And then the resulting efficiency, the reliability, the value, and the quality derived from that integrated supply chain further enhance the overall value proposition back to the trade customer, solidifying their loyalty and completing the cycle. It's a brilliant self-perpetuating loop of advantage that just keeps getting stronger.
It really is a virtuous cycle. Each element feeds the next, creating a system that's much greater than the sum of its parts.
Now, let's zoom out a bit from the internal mechanics and really paint a picture of the broader market Howden operates within. The UK kitchen and joinery market is, perhaps surprisingly to some, quite large. It's estimated at approximately £11 billion annually. And crucially, it's highly fragmented.
Oh.
It's not like you just have two or three dominant players carving up the entire pie between them. Not at all. Instead, you've got this incredibly diverse landscape. On one end, you have the big national retailers like B&Q. Then there are various other trade specialists, perhaps similar in concept to Howden, but often much smaller in scale. And then, literally thousands upon thousands of small independent showrooms and local builders, merchants who source locally. It's a really bustling competitive mosaic out there.
Yeah, it's a very mixed bag.
Demand in this market is, of course, influenced by several key macroeconomic factors. You have housing transactions naturally. People moving homes often want new kitchens or at least upgrades. Then there's repair, maintenance, and improvement, or RMI spending, as it's often called. This covers all the renovations and upgrades to existing homes, which is a huge part of the market. Consumer confidence plays a massive role in people's willingness to commit to discretionary purchases like a new kitchen. And naturally, credit availability significantly impacts these larger purchases as well. But it's important to note here that RMI spending, which is tied directly to the UK's vast existing housing stock, millions of homes needing upkeep, tends to provide a much more stable foundation for the industry than just relying on the volatility of new build housing starts. Even if RMI is still cyclical itself, people renovate even when they're not moving house, and that's a really key part of understanding Howden's underlying resilience.
That's a critical point. The RMI market provides a baseline level of demand that's less volatile than new builds, and this fragmentation you highlighted isn't just a characteristic of the market, it's actually a structural opportunity. This raises an important question, doesn't it? In such a varied and diffuse landscape, how does one single company not only rise to such a commanding position, but also continue to systematically expand it year after year? Well, the answer lies in Howden's model being perfectly, almost uniquely suited to capitalize on this fragmented structure. While many might see fragmentation purely as a challenge, for a scaled, highly differentiated operator like Howden, it's essentially a target-rich environment. It's an environment where smaller, often less efficient players can be systematically outcompeted on service, availability, and potentially even price over the long term, or even acquired if the opportunity arises.
And capitalize, they absolutely have. Howden is not just a player in this market. It is the clear leader, consistently described as the UK's number one specialist kitchen and joinery supplier. The data here isn't just compelling, it's frankly astonishing when you dig into it. A Mintel market report from back in September 2023 estimated Howden's share of UK consumer spending on kitchens at a whopping 30%. 30%! To give you some context on that number, that puts them significantly ahead of their nearest rivals. Wren Kitchens, which had about 17%, and the big DIY giant B&Q, trailing at just 9%. This isn't just a slight lead, it's a dominant, commanding position in their core market.
It's a huge lead. Really demonstrates their focus has paid off.
Absolutely. And what's even more impressive, perhaps, and a real testament to their underlying resilience, is that Howden isn't merely holding its ground in what's been a tough market recently. It's actively gaining market share, even during economic downturns. Their full year 2024 results, and again in the first half of 2025, proudly highlighted revenue growth despite a contraction in the UK kitchen market. It's quite a statement. This demonstrates how uniquely positioned their model is to consolidate what we often call the long tail of small chains and independent retailers, that vast number of smaller, often family-run operations. These smaller players, which collectively still held a substantial 20% market share back in 2023, according to Mintel, are often far less resilient. They lack the scale advantages, they struggle with supply chain issues, and they just can't match the service proposition that Howden's model simply overcomes day after day.
Right. If we connect this to the bigger picture, Howden's leadership isn't just about its impressive size or its current dominant market share. It's profoundly protected by significant and crucially sustainable barriers to entry. These aren't minor hurdles we're talking about. These are towering walls that make it extremely difficult, if not outright impossible, for newcomers or even existing competitors to genuinely challenge their deeply entrenched position. It creates this robust, multi-layered competitive moat around the business.
Can you break down those barriers for us? What makes that moat so strong?
Sure. First, you have to consider the sheer scale and complexity of their logistics. Think about the absolutely prohibitive capital investment that would be required for anyone to even attempt to replicate Howden's physical infrastructure from scratch. A new entrant would need to somehow build or acquire nearly 900 strategically located depots, each one needing to be stocked with millions of pounds worth of inventory, then establish multiple state-of-the-art manufacturing facilities, and on top of that, create a highly sophisticated national logistics and warehousing operation. The cost, the complexity, and just the sheer amount of time required to build such a network are simply astronomical. We're genuinely talking billions, not millions, in investment, and probably decades, not years, to achieve that scale. This isn't something a venture-backed startup can simply disrupt with a clever app or a flashy website.
That's a really powerful point. It's not just the money required, although that's huge. It's about the decades of coordinated effort, the real estate acquisition challenges, the deep supply chain integration, and the sheer day-to-day operational complexity involved in making it all run seamlessly across nearly 900 locations. It's a massive undertaking.
Precisely. It's daunting. Second barrier, their supplier power. As the undisputed UK's largest kitchen and joinery supplier, Howden wields immense purchasing power with its suppliers of raw materials, manufactured components, and any third-party appliances they might source. This gives them a significant structural cost advantage. They can negotiate far better terms than almost anyone else, leading directly to those purchasing and manufacturing efficiencies you see mentioned in their reports. These efficiencies directly support their industry-leading gross margins and, importantly, enable them to offer competitive pricing to the trade without having to sacrifice their own profitability. This scale advantage acts as a constant headwind for smaller players who simply cannot command the same favorable terms from suppliers.
So scale begets scale, okay. Essentially.
In many ways, yes. And finally, perhaps the most formidable barrier of all, and the hardest one to quantify, the intangible relationship assets. Howden has painstakingly cultivated these deep, trust-based relationships with literally tens of thousands of individual trade customers over several decades. This isn't just about transactional business. It's built on a solid foundation of consistent reliability, superior service levels, the problem-solving immediacy offered by their unique in-stock model, and that fundamentally mutually beneficial aligned trade-only business model we've discussed at length. This intangible asset, this bedrock of trust and loyalty built over years and years, simply cannot be easily or quickly replicated by a competitor, no matter how much capital they decide to throw at the problem. These factors, scale, supplier power, and relationships, combine to create a truly powerful competitive moat that has proven remarkably durable through various economic cycles. It allows the company not only to defend its impressive market share, but to actively expand it, often directly at the expense of weaker, less resilient rivals. It's really a masterclass in operational excellence and long-term strategic positioning.
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting for me, and I think it truly tells the story of this company's quality. Howden doesn't just talk a good game about its unique business model. Its financial performance tells an incredibly compelling story of resilience, quality, and consistent execution year after year. Looking at their historical growth track record, they've shown remarkable stability and even managed growth in periods where many other businesses in their sector were visibly contracting. Take fiscal year 2024, for example. That was a year defined by contracting UK kitchen market and significant cost inflation across the board. Yet Howden's group revenue remained incredibly robust, actually growing slightly by 0.5% to reach $2,322.1 million. And that resilience and positive momentum clearly continued into the first half of 2025, with revenue increasing a solid 3.2% year over year to $997.6 million. These aren't just abstract numbers. These are clear indicators of a business that can not only weather significant storms, but actually continue to make steady progress right through them.
That ability to grow revenue, even modestly, in a market that's actually shrinking overall, is a profound indicator of their competitive strength and sustained market share gains. It means they're taking business from someone else. But what's truly astonishing, I think, and a clear testament to their operational excellence and pricing power, is their ability to actually expand gross margins during a period of intense inflationary pressure. This means their trade customers are not only sticking loyally with Howden, but are also willing to accept price increases, implicitly acknowledging the value of that reliability, convenience, and indispensable partnership Howden provides. It demonstrates significant pricing power, which is really the gold standard in assessing business performance, isn't it? This isn't just about being a good business. It's about being perceived as an essential partner to their customers, which crucially allows them to pass on rising costs without necessarily losing significant volume.
Exactly, you've nailed it there. And their profitability is genuinely industry-leading, a standout metric that very few in their broader sector can even come close to matching. Their gross profit margin is the shining example here. In an environment of severe inflationary pressures where raw material costs, energy prices, and labor costs were all rising sharply, Howden actually managed to expand its gross margin by 80 basis points. For those less familiar, that's 0.8 percentage points, which is huge at these levels. It reached a record 61.6% in 2024. And they didn't stop there. It expanded by a further 130 basis points, or 1.3 percentage points, to an even more impressive 62.1% in the first half of 2025. This incredible achievement is attributed, as they state, to a potent combination of successful price increases, significant purchasing benefits derived from their immense scale, and maintaining a favorable product mix towards higher margin items. This really just screams pricing power, that coveted ability to command prices that truly reflect the value they deliver, even when their own input costs are relentlessly rising.
It's quite remarkable performance in context.
It really is. And despite making ongoing heavy investments in their strategic initiatives and facing higher labor costs like everyone else, their operating profit, and ultimately their profit before tax, PBT, remained incredibly robust. PBT was broadly flat year over year in 2024 at $328.1 million, which was a great result given the headwinds, but then it demonstrated impressive growth of 4.4% in the first half of 2025 to reach $117.2 million. If you glance at the comprehensive financial table provided in our source materials, you can really appreciate the consistent strength and resilience reflected in these numbers across group revenue, gross margin, operating margin, PBT, and importantly, net cash, right from fiscal year 2020 through to the first half of 2025. This consistent high-quality performance is truly remarkable, especially when you consider the turbulent economic backdrop of recent years, which has seen many, many competitors struggle significantly or even fail.
The ability to not only maintain but actually expand gross margins during a period of significant input cost inflation is arguably the single most telling financial indicator of Howden's underlying competitive strength and its operational mastery. It unequivocally underscores the power of their value proposition to their core trade customers. These customers clearly prioritize the guaranteed availability, the reliability, and the seamless service that Howden offers, perhaps above pure price alone, to the point where they accept, and maybe even expect, necessary price adjustments from a trusted partner. This isn't just about clever or efficient cost management, although that's part of it. It's a profound indicator of deep market power, built painstakingly over decades on trust and providing an indispensable service.
Beyond just the headline profit and loss numbers, their operational efficiency indicators are also quite compelling and offer further insight into the health of the underlying business mechanics. For instance, UK same depot revenue growth, which gives us a clearer, more organic picture of the underlying health and performance of their existing network, stripping out the effect of new openings, initially saw a modest decline of 1.2% in that challenging fiscal year 2024. But significantly, it returned to positive territory in the first half of 2025, growing by 1.7%. This positive swing indicates, firstly, a stabilization of market conditions in their favor, and crucially suggests continued market share gains being captured from less resilient competitors who might be seeing steeper declines. And as we've already highlighted, their extensive physical footprint remains incredibly impressive, with a total of 869 UK depots and 78 international depots at the end of FY24, summing up to 947 overall. That provides the ubiquity we talked about earlier, that everywhere their customers need them to be.
And let's absolutely not overlook the bedrock, the foundation of their financial strength, that net cash balance sheet. Ending fiscal year 2024 with a staggering $343.6 million in net cash and, critically, zero bank debt on the books. Well, this provides immense strategic flexibility. It truly is a fortress balance sheet. This financial strength allows Howden to comfortably weather pretty much any conceivable economic storm without facing financial distress. It allows them to continue investing heavily in their strategic initiatives, even when competitors might be forced to pull back and retrench. And it allows them to consistently maintain their stated policy of returning surplus capital to shareholders. This robust financial position isn't just a nice-to-have feature. It's a key strategic differentiator and fundamentally underpins the overall exceptional quality and resilience of the business. It's a luxury few of their peers can afford, frankly.
And that enviable financial health directly enables a very clear, very disciplined, and refreshingly transparent capital allocation framework from the management team. They're not just chasing every shiny new object that comes along. Their priorities are meticulously defined and consistently communicated. Priority number one, first and foremost, is to adequately fund the group's ongoing operations and their ambitious organic growth plans. That comes first. Once that's covered, their second priority is to maintain a progressive dividend policy, ensuring consistent and growing returns directly to shareholders over time. And then, if there's any surplus capital left over after those first two priorities are met, typically defined as when their year-end cash balance exceeds the threshold of around 250 million rand, they commit to returning it promptly to shareholders, usually via share buybacks or occasionally special dividends. And this isn't just a statement of intent written in an annual report. They consistently put it into action, which builds credibility.
That clarity and discipline is exactly what long-term investors like to see.
Exactly. For example, demonstrating that commitment to growth, they invested a substantial £122 million in capital expenditures in FY24 alone. A significant portion of this, as you expect, goes directly into enhancing and expanding their Criddle Depot network. In 2024, they opened 29 new UK depots and significantly revamped 76 existing ones. And they have concrete plans already laid out for another 25 new UK depots and around 60 major revamps in 2025. They're constantly reinvesting. They're also strategically investing in their manufacturing capabilities and supply chain upgrades, citing improvements at their Runcorn facility, as an example, to further bolster that crucial vertical integration advantage. Product innovation is another key area of investment, naturally.
They introduced 11 completely new kitchen ranges in 2024 and have plans for at least 23 more in 2025, alongside a strategic expansion into adjacent categories like the 19-bedroom ranges they offered at the end of 2024. And of course, digital development is crucial in today's world, enhancing their online presence, upgrading depot-level technology, and providing better tools for things like lead generation and account management software directly for their trade customers. They're investing across the board.
This disciplined and consistent approach to capital allocation speaks volumes about the quality and the long-term focus of the management team. By prioritizing organic investment first, they're not just maintaining the business, they're continually fueling their long-term growth engine and actively reinforcing their competitive advantages, making that moat we talked about even deeper and wider over time. And by simultaneously maintaining that fortress balance sheet, while also providing consistent and predictable shareholder returns through progressive dividends and opportunistic buybacks, they build immense investor confidence and loyalty. This reinforces the market's perception of Howden as a high-quality, reliable, blue-chip company that consistently delivers for both its customers and its shareholders, even during turbulent economic times. It really is a virtuous cycle of financial prudence driving strategic growth and shareholder value.
Absolutely. And they really follow through on those shareholder returns, too, not just in theory, but demonstrably in practice. Their progressive dividend policy, for example, saw the total dividend for FY24 increase by 1.0% to 21.2 pence per share. This was followed by a further 2.0% increase in the interim dividend declared for H1 2025, up to 5.2 pence per share, sending a strong signal of management's ongoing confidence in the future earnings trajectory of the business. On top of that dividend growth, they clearly demonstrated their commitment to returning surplus capital by announcing a substantial new 100 million share buyback program back in February 2025. And they didn't just announce it, they acted on it quickly, with a significant 31.8 million of that program already completed by the end of the first half of 2025. This really underscores their firm commitment to that disciplined capital allocation framework and their clear dedication to enhancing shareholder value over the long run. Now let's look beyond the immediate performance, impressive as it is, and turn our gaze towards Howden's longer-term horizon.
What are the growth opportunities and the key strategic initiatives that they believe will continue to drive them forward and sustain their impressive trajectory over the next 5-10 years? The company has clearly articulated what they call their four strategic pillars for sustainable long-term growth in its 2024 annual results. These are continually evolving the depot model, consistently improving range and supply management, further developing their digital platforms, and perhaps the most ambitious pillar, strategically expanding their international presence.
These strategic pillars aren't just corporate buzzwords plucked from a consultant's report. They represent a clear, logical, and thoughtfully considered roadmap for continued growth. They address both strengthening their established, highly successful UK markets where they already dominate, and perhaps with a higher degree of inherent risk, carefully venturing into new geographical territories. It really speaks to a management team that is far from complacent, despite their success. Instead, they are actively and methodically seeking avenues for further expansion and continuous improvement, which is frankly a hallmark of a genuinely high-quality, forward-looking business.
Exactly. Complacency is clearly not in their vocabulary. Even with their dominant position in the UK, Howden still sees a long runway for continued organic growth within its core home market.
Remember, we're talking about an 11 billion count addressable market here, and it's still remarkably fragmented, despite Howden's leading 30% share. This presents a key ongoing opportunity for continued market consolidation. They firmly believe they can keep steadily taking market share away from those thousands of smaller, often less resilient competitors by consistently leveraging their superior scale advantages, their robust supply chain capabilities, and their unmatched service model specifically tailored for trade professionals.
That seems like a very plausible path for continued steady growth.
It does. And the ongoing depot rollout is a prime vehicle for achieving this UK growth. They're not just plunking down new depots randomly, they're strategically reformatting many existing ones to improve space efficiency, enhance the overall customer experience, and optimize their local stockholding based on demand patterns. For 2025, for example, the plan includes around 25 completely new UK depots, plus approximately 60 significant revamps of existing sites. Alongside this physical expansion, relentless product range expansion is also crucial. After introducing 11 new kitchen ranges in 2024, they plan to launch at least 23 more in 2025, with a particular focus, they say, on offering more styles across a wider array of price points to cater to literally every segment of the trade market, from budget jobs to high-end renovations. Plus, they're strategically expanding into adjacent product categories, such as the 19-bedroom ranges they had available at the end of 2024. This subtly broadens their appeal and increases the potential basket size from their existing loyal trade customer base.
The ongoing consolidation opportunity in the UK really is a powerful, persistent tailwind for Howden, isn't it? Smaller independent players, as we've discussed, often struggle acutely with achieving economies of scale, managing supply chain complexities, affording the capital needed for sufficient inventory, and lacking the ability to invest significantly in digital tools or showroom upgrades. Howden's robust, vertically integrated, and exceptionally well-capitalized model directly addresses and frankly exploits these inherent weaknesses of smaller competitors. This allows them to systematically absorb market share or simply outcompete these myriad smaller players, continuing to expand their dominant footprint and market share in their home territory for potentially many years to come. It's almost like a slow-motion acquisition of market share without necessarily needing to actually acquire companies, simply achieved by being the better, more reliable partner for the trade.
Then there's the international expansion piece, which represents perhaps their most significant long-term growth opportunity, albeit with higher risks attached. The goal here is to painstakingly replicate their highly successful UK business model in entirely new markets, adapting where necessary. Currently, their international operations are strategically focused on three key markets: France, Belgium, and the Republic of Ireland. They had 78 depots operating internationally at the end of 2024. Now, this international segment, though still much smaller than the UK core, has actually been growing quite rapidly in recent periods. Local currency revenue was up a healthy 9.7% in 2024, and that accelerated to an impressive 12.1% growth in the first half of 2025. So it clearly shows that the fundamental model can work effectively outside the UK.
Yes, the potential is definitely there. However, this international expansion, while holding significant long-term potential for value creation, is also undoubtedly where we see a higher degree of execution risk creeping into the investment case. This raises that important question. Can the unique magic of the UK model truly be replicated successfully and consistently in diverse markets with potentially very different trade cultures, distinct regulatory landscapes, and entirely different competitive dynamics? The experience in France, for example, which we can touch on, seems to underscore that success isn't guaranteed and requires immense patience, significant local adaptation, and probably a lot of trial and error. It's definitely a higher risk, higher reward component of their overall corporate strategy compared to the established, highly predictable, cash-generative core UK business. Understanding and establishing trust with a completely new trade base in a different country with different expectations and ways of working can be incredibly complex and time-consuming.
And the success does seem to vary considerably between countries, which is a key insight here, isn't it? The Republic of Ireland, for example, looks like a clear success story so far. They're actively building out their depot network there, planning to open another 5 depots in 2025 to reach a total of 18. That's quite rapid expansion for a relatively small market, suggesting the model translated well. In stark contrast, the approach in France, which is actually the largest of their current international markets and where they have the most depots established, seems, well, a bit more cautious lately. Management commentary has subtly shifted over the last year or so, moving away from an emphasis on rapid new depot expansion towards a focus on, and I quote, improving the performance of the existing estate and driving existing depot sales. Now, this change in emphasis, while sounding prudent, strongly suggests that replicating the highly successful UK model in the large and complex French market has presented some unique and perhaps unforeseen challenges, maybe related to cultural differences in how the building trade operates there, or perhaps different competitive dynamics from established local players, or maybe just unexpected operational complexities. It really highlights that international expansion, while potentially very lucrative in the long run, is rarely a straight line to success and requires continuous learning, flexibility, and adaptation from management.
Patience and persistence are key internationally.
Definitely. Now, let's talk specifically about how Howden has been weathering the recent economic storm, because the period from roughly 2022 through 2024 was genuinely a challenging time for the UK economy overall, and specifically for the broader home improvement and construction sector. We saw a real barrage of significant macroeconomic challenges hitting simultaneously. Sharp interest rate hikes from the Bank of England, which directly impacted mortgage affordability and slowed housing transactions. A notable slowdown in the housing market itself, stubbornly high inflation across the board affecting input costs, and a severe cost of living crisis that put immense pressure on discretionary spending for ordinary households. Management themselves were quite open and clear about this, explicitly stating their expectation that the overall UK kitchen market would likely contract in both 2024 and 2025. That sets a very tough operating backdrop for anyone in this sector.
Absolutely. This period wasn't just a minor bump in the road. It was a genuine stress test for businesses right across the entire sector, from small independents to large nationals. And if we connect this back to the bigger picture of Howden's quality, it truly highlighted the fundamental resilience and, frankly, the clear competitive superiority of Howden's specific business model compared to many of its peers. While others were clearly bending, or in some cases even breaking, under the intense pressure, Howden demonstrated an incredible capacity to adapt, maintain profitability, and even continue to gain market share. It really shone a bright light on what quality and resilience truly mean in a cyclical industry like this.
And we have specific, concrete examples of those struggles from their direct competitors during this period. Rin Kitchens, for instance, a significant direct competitor, particularly in the retail space, reported a worrying 5.1% decline in turnover for their fiscal year 2024. They directly cited the uncertain macroeconomic environment and a continued slowdown in the housing market as the primary culprits for that decline. Nobia, the large Swedish parent company of Magnet Kitchens, another established UK player, reported significant operating losses specifically within its UK division. This unfortunately led to a substantial restructuring program that included numerous store closures and job losses. Even the giant B&Q, a much larger retailer overall with a more diversified offering, specifically noted weaker performance in its crucial big-ticket categories like kitchens, indicating that even the scale players weren't immune to the slowdown in larger projects. These weren't just minor wobbles for competitors. These were substantial, business-impacting contractions and challenges.
Real pain being felt elsewhere in the market.
Indeed. But then you look at Howden's performance, characterized by what can only be described as remarkable stability during this exact same turbulent period. For their fiscal year ending in December 2024, Howden's overall group revenue was essentially flat, rising just a modest 0.5%, while their profit before tax was also broadly stable year on year at $328.1 million. This impressive performance, achieved while actively gaining market share from those struggling competitors we just mentioned, profoundly underscores the defensive characteristics embedded within their unique business model. That symbiotic relationship they have with their trade professionals who, remember, often focus on smaller scale repair, maintenance, and improvement, RMI, predicts things like patching up, refreshing, or making essential upgrades to existing homes, proved far less sensitive to the downturns in large ticket discretionary spending and new housing transactions compared to the more retail-focused models employed by many of their competitors. It's a fundamental difference in the nature and stability of their core demand drivers.
And perhaps the most telling aspect of all, a true indicator of their underlying strength and execution capability, was their ability, as we discussed, to not only maintain but actually expand their gross margin to that record 61.6% in 2024, despite facing significant input cost inflation across materials, energy, and labor. This is powerful, tangible evidence of their formidable pricing power and their exceptional operational execution capabilities working in tandem. Management explicitly attributed this stellar performance to having, and I quote, offset the majority of inflationary cost increases through efficiency savings and cost control.
while also successfully implementing necessary price increases to protect profitability. This demonstrates their incredible capacity to pass on rising costs effectively without sacrificing significant sales volume, strongly indicating the truly non-discretionary essential nature of their service offering for their core Trane customers. And encouragingly, this strong operational execution appears to have continued into the new fiscal year. They reported a positive start to H1 2025, delivering both revenue and profit growth, leading management to confidently confirm that the group is on track with the outlook for 2025 despite the ongoing market challenges.
Right. To put this competitive outperformance into even clearer perspective, let's just do a quick peer benchmarking analysis using some specific competitive data points for FY 2024. If we compare Howden directly to Ren, Magnet, and B&Q across some key financial and market metrics, the picture of Howden's relative dominance becomes incredibly clear. Okay, let's look at total revenue in FY 2024. Howden clocked in at $2,322.1 million. Ren Kitchens reported $917.7 million. Magnet, based on Nobia's UK division figures, was around $566 million. And B&Q, part of the larger Kingfisher UK group, was a much larger entity overall at $3,849 million in revenue. But now look at the crucial metric of revenue growth year over year in that tough market. Howden managed plus 0.5%. Ren, however, was down a stark meter 5.1%. Magnet was essentially flat, but remember that was only achieved after significant restructuring and store closures. And B&Q posted plus 0.3% overall, but again, with that specifically noted weakness in big-ticket items like kitchens dragging them down.
Quite a divergence in top-line performance.
A huge divergence, and profitability tells an even starker story. Howden's profit before tax, PBT, was a very healthy $328.1 million. Ren's PBT came in at $69.4 million, significantly lower, both in absolute terms and as a margin. Magnet's UK division, incredibly, actually posted a substantial operating loss, indicating deep structural issues needing urgent attention. And B&Q, despite its overall size, noted that those weaker big-ticket sales were impacting their overall profitability, specifically those crucial higher-margin categories like kitchens. Now look at gross margin. Howden truly shines at that 61.6% level. Magnet's reported Q4 gross margin was much lower at 40.8%, and the overall Kingfisher Group, B&Q's parent, typically operates around a 37% gross margin. Finally, for estimated UK market share back in 2023, Howden led decisively at 30%, Ren followed at 17%, Magnet had dwindled to a small 3%, and B&Q held around 9%. This data clearly, undeniably demonstrates Howden's superior performance across virtually every key metric, particularly revenue growth resilience and outright profitability, even during a very challenging market period.
This comparative data vividly illustrates Howden's profound competitive strengths in action. Its exceptional pricing power, the deep and profound loyalty it commands from its core trade customers, and its robust brand strength specifically within that crucial trade segment. That consistently high gross margin, which was not just maintained but actually expanded during an inflationary period, is the clearest, most undeniable evidence you could ask for regarding their pricing power. And this pricing power stems directly, as we've discussed, from their trade customers' absolute prioritization of reliability, immediate product availability, and the sheer convenience offered by Howden's unique in-stock, decentralized depot model. They aren't just selling kitchen cabinets and appliances. They are selling certainty, efficiency, and project completion security, which for a busy builder managing multiple jobs is absolutely invaluable.
Absolutely. And conversely, this peer comparison really highlights the significant vulnerabilities inherent in their competitors' models or situations. Ren's make-to-order model, while perhaps appearing efficient from a pure manufacturing viewpoint, can clearly be a major point of friction and frustration for trade customers who absolutely prioritize speed, flexibility, and immediate access to parts to keep jobs moving. Magnus' struggles appear to be symptomatic of broader strategic challenges within its parent company, Nobia, suggesting perhaps a fundamental disconnect or lack of focused investment in the UK market over time. And B&Q's predominantly retail-first model means it's inherently much more directly exposed to the fickle fluctuations in general consumer discretionary spending on large expensive projects, which tend to get deferred first when household budgets tighten. Howden's laser-focused trade-first approach, rooted fundamentally in the more stable, consistent demand generated from ongoing RMI projects across the UK's housing stock, has allowed it to not just maintain its position, but actually widen its competitive lead during the recent period of intense market stress.
It's really been a strategic triumph for them. So we've thoroughly dissected the business model, examined the impressive financial strength, and analyzed the competitive market dynamics. Now, the crucial question, what does all of this mean for you, the listener, someone perhaps considering an investment in Howden Joinery?
Their quality is undeniably evident, the business model is demonstrably robust, and the financial performance has been exceptionally strong and consistent. But the market, being generally quite discerning, often assigns a significant premium for such perceived quality, and Howden is certainly no exception to that rule. Let's take a closer look at the valuation picture.
Yes, the valuation is always the key question for investors.
Howden definitely trades at a noticeable premium compared to the broader UK building material sector. To get into specifics, its price-to-earnings, or PE ratio, which is a key metric telling us how much investors are currently willing to pay for each pound of a company's annual earnings, is sitting at approximately 19.4 times based on trailing 12-month earnings. Now, this is slightly above its own 5-year historical average PE of around 18.1 times. It's also significantly higher than the trough valuation of just 8.8 times seen briefly at the end of 2022 during peak market pessimism. However, it's still comfortably below its absolute peak valuation of around 29.0 times reached back in late 2020. So while it's not at historical extremes, it's certainly not trading at a discount multiple.
Right. And this valuation isn't really about the stock being undervalued in the classic deep value investing sense. Not at all. Rather, it clearly reflects the market's widespread, almost unanimous recognition of their dominant market position, their truly defensible business model with those high barriers to entry, their consistently superior profitability metrics, and their demonstrated resilience through multiple challenging economic cycles. It's fundamentally a quality premium, reflecting the market's deep trust in their consistent operational execution and the perceived predictability and defensibility of their future earnings stream. It's essentially what you expect to pay for an exceptionally well-run business possessing a wide and durable competitive moat.
Another key valuation metric we should look at is enterprise value to EBITDA, often abbreviated as EV/EBITDA. This metric looks at the total value of the company, including debt minus cash, relative to its operating earnings before deducting non-cash expenses like depreciation and amortization. On this basis, Howden is trading at approximately 13.1 times on a trailing 12-month basis. Now, interestingly, this is actually quite closely in line with its own 5-year historical average EV/EBITDA multiple of around 13.5 times. This might suggest that on this particular valuation basis, which many analysts prefer for comparing businesses with different capital structures, the company isn't excessively stretched relative to its own recent history. However, when you benchmark Howden against its more traditional cyclical peers in the building materials sector, like say Travis Perkins or Kingfisher, B&Q's parent, or even against the broader UK industrials median multiple, Howden's valuation multiples are significantly higher across the board. Now, this isn't necessarily a bad thing in itself. It simply reflects the market's classification of Howden as being closer, perhaps, to high-quality industrial distributors or even certain defensive consumer staples companies, rather than just treating it as a generic, highly cyclical building materials supplier. This distinction is due to its consistent profitability, clear market leadership, and proven defensive qualities.
That's a very important distinction to make. So an investment in Howden at these kinds of levels, therefore, is fundamentally a bet on sustained operational execution and continued long-term growth delivery. It's clearly not a traditional value play, but very much a quality play. However, this inherent premium valuation also means there's arguably less room for error compared to investing in a more lowly rated stock. Any significant operational misstep, perhaps a sustained period of underperformance relative to elevated market expectations, or maybe a much worse than expected prolonged UK economic downturn could potentially lead to a derating of the stock. This is where its valuation multiples might contract back towards the broader sector average, which would negatively impact shareholder returns even if the underlying business itself remains fundamentally solid. It effectively sets a higher bar for continued outperformance to justify the current price.
Beyond just looking at the earnings multiples, it's also really worth considering the direct cash returns being provided to shareholders, something which Howden's management explicitly prioritizes in their capital allocation framework. Based on their current total annual dividend of 21.3 pence per share and using a recent share price of around 883 pence, that provides investors with a prospective dividend yield of approximately 2.41%. And then, as we discussed earlier, they have that active 100 million share buyback program currently underway. Relative to its current market capitalization of approximately 4.79 billion, this program represents a potential additional buyback yield of around 2.1% if it's fully completed over the course of 1 year. So if you combine the consistent progressive dividend yield and the active share buyback yield, suggests a total potential shareholder yield of approximately 4.5%. Now, that's quite an attractive potential cash return for what is widely considered a high-quality, relatively stable business. And importantly, it's underpinned by the company's strong underlying free cash flow generation and that enviable net cash balance sheet providing security.
that total yield perspective is helpful. So to try and synthesize the entire valuation picture here, Howden Joinery is clearly not an undervalued stock based on conventional valuation metrics. It trades at a premium which the market appears to robustly justify based on its demonstrable quality attributes. This encompasses its dominant UK market position, its truly defensible and unique business model, its consistently superior profitability metrics compared to peers, and its proven resilient performance through various challenging economic cycles over many years. Therefore, an investment in Howden at current levels is not a classic value proposition seeking mispriced assets. Instead, it represents a clear view that the company's exceptional quality and consistent operational execution will continue to command a premium valuation going forward. And crucially, that its long-term growth prospects, driven by further UK market consolidation and critically successful international expansion over time, are sufficient to drive future share price appreciation from these levels. It's essentially about paying what seems like a fair price today for owning an exceptional business asset for the long term.
But as the old investment adage goes, no investment is ever entirely without risk. And even a company as robust and seemingly impenetrable as Howden Joinery has its inherent vulnerabilities that we absolutely need to acknowledge and consider carefully. First, let's consider the unavoidable macroeconomic and cyclical risks. The company's fortunes, while proving resilient, are still intrinsically linked to the overall health of the UK economy, and more specifically, the activity levels within the UK housing market. A severe or unexpectedly prolonged recession in the UK, perhaps a sharp or sustained fall in national house prices, or maybe a prolonged period of significantly higher mortgage rates, could substantially reduce demand for new kitchens and joinery products across the board. While Howden has proven incredibly resilient through recent downturns, it's probably not entirely immune to a really deep systemic cyclical downturn affecting the entire economy significantly.
No company is truly immune if things get bad enough.
Exactly. Furthermore, let's remember, a new kitchen represents a significant capital outlay for any household budget. During periods of significant economic stress, like a severe cost of living crisis where consumers feel genuinely squeezed financially, individuals may choose to delay or perhaps downsize such large-ticket discretionary projects. This could directly impact Howden's sales volume and potentially put pressure on their margins if discounting becomes necessary. And finally, on the macro front, the vast majority of Howden's revenue and, crucially, its profit is currently generated within the United Kingdom. This creates a very high degree of geographical concentration risk, making them highly vulnerable to any significant economic, political, or regulatory shocks that might be specific only to the United Kingdom, such as unexpected negative policy changes or severe regional economic downturns.
Absolutely. That concentration in the UK market, while undoubtedly allowing for an incredible depth of operational focus and deep market understanding, does present a singular point of significant potential exposure. It means that while they might be incredibly robust within that specific market, they remain highly sensitive to external factors that affect only the UK, which is an important diversification consideration for global investors.
Then we need to consider the competitive and operational risks. Despite their strong competitive moat that we've analyzed, the market remains intensely competitive day to day. They face large, well-funded competitors like Wren Kitchens, B&Q, and Wix, as well as that vast, fragmented base of thousands of independent suppliers, all constantly vying for market share in different segments. Intense price competition initiated by rivals, perhaps aggressive marketing campaigns targeting their trade base, or maybe a sudden unexpected structural shift in the market or a change in consumer preferences could potentially put pressure on Howden's hard-won market share and, crucially, erode those industry-leading margins over time if they are forced to respond.
Complacency is always a risk, even for market leaders.
True. There is also the significant international execution risk, which we touched upon earlier regarding France. Successfully expanding their unique, highly localized, trade-only model into entirely new international markets. Markets with potentially very different cultures, complex regulatory environments, and entrenched local competitive landscapes is a key and complex execution risk facing management. A failure to successfully scale the international business effectively over the coming years could potentially result in wasted investment capital, become a significant drag on valuable senior management time and resources, and negatively impact overall group profitability for an extended period if losses mount. And let's not forget the ever-present risk of supply chain disruption. Howden relies on a complex global supply chain for certain raw materials and some finished goods. Geopolitical events, international trade disputes, major shipping disruptions like we've seen,
Natural disasters impacting suppliers, or even the unexpected failure of key strategic suppliers, could potentially impact product availability and significantly increase costs. This could, in a worst-case scenario, undermine their core in-stock value proposition and damage that hard-earned customer trust. Finally, on the operational side, maintaining their unique and highly effective corporate culture is absolutely vital to their continued success. The effectiveness of their decentralized model is incredibly dependent on the quality, the autonomy, and the entrepreneurial spirit of those local depot managers we discussed. A failure to consistently attract, retain, and properly incentivize this key talent pool across nearly 900 locations, or perhaps a gradual erosion of their distinctive, localized, customer-focused culture as the company grows larger, could gradually degrade service levels, weaken those crucial customer relationships at a local level, and ultimately erode the overall effectiveness of their successful business model over time. It's a people-centric business at its core, and that's both a huge strength and a potential long-term vulnerability if not managed carefully.
And related to that, we mustn't overlook the specific financial and valuation risks that inevitably accompany investing in even a premium quality business like Howden. As we've discussed at length, Howden currently trades at a premium valuation multiple relative to the broader market and most of its direct peers. This elevated valuation is fundamentally predicated on the market's expectation of continued strong operational execution, resilient future growth, and the successful maintenance of those exceptionally high margins. Now, if the company were to fail to meet these high market expectations, perhaps consistently missing growth targets or experiencing unexpected margin compression due to competitive pressure or cost inflation, or if the market's overall perception of the UK economic outlook were to deteriorate much more sharply than currently anticipated, the stock could be highly susceptible to a significant derating. This is where its valuation multiples could contract sharply, perhaps back towards the sector average, even if the underlying earnings themselves remain relatively solid. This multiple contraction can significantly impact shareholder returns irrespective of the company's operational performance. They are also, of course, continuously exposed to input cost volatility, things like sharp movements in raw material prices, energy costs, and labor expenses. While they've managed these pressures remarkably effectively to date, a sudden and sharp spike in costs that cannot be fully passed on to customers could certainly pressure those enviable margins going forward.
So to try and summarize our deep dive into Howden Joinery today, we've truly uncovered a company with a remarkably robust and highly differentiated business model. It's fundamentally built on that unwavering trade-only philosophy, supported by an unparalleled, geographically ubiquitous in-stock depot network, and powerfully enhanced by strategic, value-capturing vertical integration in key product areas. These interconnected pillars have consistently driven strong financial results, characterized by incredibly resilient revenue growth, even in tough markets, and truly industry-leading growth margins, even in the teeth of significant economic challenges and cost inflation. Howden holds a dominant leading position in a fragmented UK market, demonstrating an ability to continuously gain share from competitors. They also have a clear, well-articulated strategy for driving long-term growth, both domestically through further consolidation and internationally through careful expansion, despite the higher risks involved in the latter. However, we've also squarely acknowledged the existing premium valuation the market assigns to the stock and the associated risks that come with that, particularly their inherent macroeconomic sensitivity to the UK economy and the undeniable execution challenges inherent in successfully expanding their unique and complex business model into new international territories over the coming years.
Yes, and if we connect all of this back to the bigger picture for investors, Howden Joinery stands out as a powerful, almost textbook example of how deep specialization in a niche, combined with an unwavering focus on the specific needs of your core customer and relentless operational excellence day in, day out, can combine to build an enduring, almost unassailable competitive advantage over the long term. And crucially, they've achieved this remarkable success in an industry that many might casually dismiss as cyclical, low margin, or even somewhat mundane. It fundamentally challenges us, I think, to reconsider what truly defines quality in an investment context. It's not always about the flashiest new technology startup or the most disruptive innovative product. Sometimes genuine, durable quality is about brilliantly executing fundamental business principles in a seemingly conventional market year after year after year, consistently earning the deep trust of your customers and patiently building an economic fortress one kitchen, one depot at a time.
That's a great way to put it. This deep dive into Howden Joinery really makes you wonder, doesn't it? In an increasingly digital world, where so much investment capital and attention seems to flow relentlessly towards software companies and intangible assets,
what other boring but brilliantly executed physical business models might be out there, quietly, diligently building similar fortresses around their specific customer bases, creating immense and durable economic value that perhaps many in the market overlook simply because they aren't perceived as exciting. It's a fascinating thought to ponder, isn't it?